greet you in Jesus' name. I know what it's like to go night after night to revival meetings. I was just thinking up here, you know, a lot of you all back again. And I know the body sometimes grows weary, but I was thinking, I don't know if ever a time I went and I didn't feel like I, or wished I had not went. I enjoyed it being there. Tonight, I want to talk about specifically Lot's life. I'm sure you've heard many messages on that. Sometimes I think, you know, they've heard this all before. But, you know, we forget. We need to be reminded. So, I've titled the message, Which Direction Is Your Tent? Our choices in life affect us where we end up. It does. And sometimes we don't think soberly enough about that. I've seen people, and they've made bad choices, and sometimes you wonder, how did they ever get there? They started out over here. They were walking with the Lord. They were living like they ought to. They ended up some terrible places at times. How did they get there? Well, probably wasn't probably just always one big choice, but maybe some smaller choices that started them in the wrong path. And today, the home, and it has been for years, under attack by Satan. He knows if he can weaken our homes, he has the rest as well. And us fathers, particular mothers, their duty as well in making choices to make right ones and good ones. But fathers in particular, we lead our families. It's important we make right choices. It's important we look down the road and just look at the here and now and what this decision is going to do for me. What's it going to do for our children, us as church leaders? What is our decision going to do for the church? And you see churches, and they come up with different guidelines, different things. You wonder why. Well, why can't we be like so and so over there? Why can't we do that way? Well, trust your leaders as they try to lead you, and they're sometimes decisions, things that go into all that decision that don't always see, and don't see the wisdom of it. And I'm sure they're trying to follow God's leading in that. You know, some wonder why differences in churches. Well, think about homes. Every home here is probably somewhat different. We might have a lot of similarities, but there is things that we do differently. Does that make one a good home, a bad home? Not necessarily. But we have different ways of doing it. Well, we want to look at some choices that Lot made. And kind of the end results of that. We see some very unwise choices, I believe. It in time brought destruction and ruin upon his family and threatened his own spiritual life. How many of us are like Lot today? Too often we make choices based on what appeals to the flesh. Often, you know, what's easiest for me, what I can get quickly. Satan is skilled at wrapping, packaging offers that appeal to the eyes of the flesh. Consider more than the pretty wrapping, and he paid an awful price for that in the destruction of his family. The same will be for us. Lot was a nephew of Abraham. After the death of his father, Haran, Lot looked to Abraham, I believe, as a father figure. He was under him. Abraham, being a godly, faithful teacher, instilled, I believe, in Lot a desire to follow the Lord. after the death of, to follow the true God. I think Abraham did his job with Lot. I think, we don't think we necessarily can blame Abraham. Lot had his choice to make. After the, in Genesis 12, and I'm not going to turn there just right now, but after the death of his Abraham's father, Terah, Abraham and his household, along with Lot, went into the land of Canaan. And after a time there, there was a famine in the land, and they went down into Egypt during that famine. And then they came back to Canaan, and both Abraham and Lot, we will see, had accumulated great flocks and herds, along with many other a lot of earthly wealth, to the point it created problems to dwell together. And I want to read from some of this from Genesis 13. If you want to turn to that, we'll read the first 13 verses. And we see in this passage strife beginning to take place between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants. Genesis 13, the first 13 verses. And Abraham went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, that we be, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And remember, they had been down there in Egypt and saw this. Come back in comparison there. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So we see this strife beginning to take place. The trouble doesn't seem to be between Abraham and Lot themselves, but more between the herdsmen that took care of their cattle on pasture. Maybe shortage of some good pasture times, maybe not enough watering hole it was. And it brought about strife between their servants. Verse 6 makes it clear that, I don't know that this was just something they made up. It says the land was not able to bear them. Abraham, being a wise man, he observed what was happening and how it could also, I believe, in time cause trouble between him and Lot. And also, he knew the Canaanites were looking and others were looking on. And Abraham said in verse 8, let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. I don't know how many times my dad said it, but quite a few. He said, maybe get an idea of what me and my brothers were like sometimes. But when I was little and we would be carrying on, he would say, what do you think the neighbors think of you? And I think we do well as God's people to consider that today. What do they think of us? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? Not only did Abraham want to live peaceably with Lot, he was concerned about their witness to others around. And I don't think we always realize, I've heard some comments from people that weren't part of our fellowships, things they heard about and maybe observed. You might be surprised what people are talking about. They find out a lot about us. They observe a lot about us. We see in verse 9, Abraham knew something needed to take place, to be done. And he made his offer to Lot. He gave him the first choice of the land, of what direction he wanted to go. And verses 10 through 13, we see Lot makes his choice, the plain of Jordan. And it doesn't seem like he need to think too long to make that decision. He chose the plain of Jordan, and verse 12, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Verse 13 brings out that Sodom was a very wicked city, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. A very wicked city. And I want to turn to Genesis 18, in verse 20 and 21. We see their sin was very grievous before the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. God knows everything, doesn't he? I'm not sure why he does it that way, but I think it's a leaving impression on us that he is taking a look. He is considering where we're at. Yeah, their sin was very grievous, and it come up before the Lord. And we see in verses 23 of chapter 18 through 33, and I don't think I'll read all that, but we find Abraham, out of his love for Lot, knowing God was about to bring destruction on these cities, and Lot was there, living there with his family, pleading to the Lord to spare Sodom, even if there be 50 righteous people there. And we know how he goes down. It was interesting reading over again today. He started 50, and I think the next round he was like 5 down. And I think he realized he wasn't going down fast enough, so he started going 10 at a time. And he got down to 10 righteous be found. And there was not even 10 righteous ones in Sodom. I don't know what the population was, but a fair amount of people, I'm sure. There was not even 10 righteous. And now we want to look at Genesis 19 and just see what some of the conditions were here, some of the things about Lot. Genesis 19, I would like to try to read the first 29 verses. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street at night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he did make them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are these men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, For they therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the Lord of the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life, and cannot escape. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee to, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew all the plains and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the plain land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. So we see these two angels of the Lord coming into Sodom, and Lot, we see what happened. Lot, because of the choices he made early in his life, we'll look at some of them, lost all that was dear to him. He only escaped with his own life and two daughters that had, I believe, had been corrupted by the evil influences of Sodom living. And before we take a closer look at Lot's mistakes, bad choices, let's look at the New Testament in 2 Peter. Has something to say about Lot. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, verse 6 to 8. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. I ask myself, why would a just and a righteous man like Lot, and I believe what the word says there, he was, I'm not doubting that, who was grieved at the sins of those around him, why did he make the choices he made? Well, I believe we can see that Lot made his choices based on what appealed or looked good to the eyes of flesh. And if we do that, we will be in trouble as well. He chose the plain of Jordan because it offered him riches, easy living, earthly securities. It was one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. He lacked foresight, and I realize he didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the way we do today. I think it made a major difference too, but he was a man that did serve the Lord. He made some bad choices that affected his family greatly. He lacked foresight. His spiritual vision was clouded because his focus was on earthly gain. So it is with many today. Choices that are guided and governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life will not feel the presence of God nor have his blessing. We look back here in Genesis 13 that we read earlier, verse 10. This was a perfect, might say farming, not picking on farmers here tonight, but perfect farming operation. This was a perfect business venture, the plain of Jordan. It was a perfect spread for his growing family. Or was it? Really was it? He failed to see, or he ignored the spiritual dangers in making his choice. Maybe Lot reasoned Sodom and the wicked cities in the plain of Jordan were not a serious threat to him. But we definitely need to consider more on ourselves and our choices. After all, Uncle Abraham had taught him well. He could live close by and still keep his faith in God. Maybe that's what he thought. Maybe a lot of reason Uncle Abraham is already well set well financially. He doesn't need the best. This is my chance, and I'm not going to pass it up. I'm not sure what all went through his mind. But what about us? Do we just consider the earthly benefits, or do we seek the will of God? I'm troubled when I see people today, they launch out, they go to another state or something, and they buy a place or they settle down, and they have never once given it a thought for where they're going to go to church. They're just going out there, and they'll make it somehow. I don't think that's wise, and it will get us into trouble. As with risky business ventures, that promise quick and large returns on our investment, sometimes the risk is camouflaged. The wrapping is so enticing, we fail to see the dangers. Many have thought, there's no way I can lose with such an offer. So good. Many have lost out. The cities in the plain of Jordan offered an easy lifestyle and security to Lot and his growing family. Think about it. Lot was leaving the security. His uncle Abraham was always there as a security. He always had him there that he could go to if he needed help. He was going to lose that. He was going off by himself. This offer painted a secure future for him where all his needs would be met. And why is it today? It's hard to, I realize not everybody's asked to go into foreign missions, but times it's hard today to pry people loose because, they got it so good where they are. They don't want to leave and go out into the unknown. Are we a little bit like Lot? We like our earthly securities. Do we also choose the well-watered plains, not thinking about the spiritual dangers that are there for us? May we have our security in other things, and bank accounts, insurance policies, some flourishing business. Abraham was a wealthy man. We know that. The Bible says that. But not because he followed, I don't believe he followed after riches. He followed after God. Abraham and God blessed him in a, I believe, spiritually and a financial way. He did bless him. He left the securities and comforts of home and followed God's leading into Canaan, which a land that was, I believe, a hostile land, which he stood a good chance of losing everything. But he, I believe, trusted in God and moved in his direction. Isaiah 59:1 reminds us, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Do we believe that? Do we trust him? I believe our choices in life is a reflection a lot of times of where our trust is. Well, Lot believed in God, and I believe he would have wanted that for his family as well. Yet, interestingly, maybe if you found it, I didn't find it. Did he ever build, and talks about different altars that Abraham built, different places he went. But no record of that with Lot. Never built an altar to sacrifice to God that I could see. Maybe one reason why his family lost out. He failed to follow Abraham's example in leading them in worship. And I believe when God's will is not considered in our choices we make in life, it will be hard or impossible to teach our children to reverence or worship him. Perhaps an altar would have kept them out of Sodom. An altar would have reminded them whose servants had been, as they looked and saw that altar, they would have reminded them that they, whose servants they were and their duty to Almighty God. Lot seemed to have forgotten God's call on Abraham to separate himself from his wicked homeland. Maybe Lot remembered but thought, "We'll just live on the outskirts of town. It will be far enough away, it won't have any negative impact on our family." You ever said, "Well, we'll go this far and we'll go no more"? We find Lot pitching his tent toward Sodom, willing, I believe, to put his family at risk for financial gain, for earthly securities. Many are doing that today. And you'll be sad if you do that. You'll be sad how probably the turnout of your family. I realize they have their own choice and they may choose right, even if you don't. But often they're impacted greatly by our choices. We think sometimes the offer is just too good to refuse. Yet it puts our family at risk spiritually. The men of Sodom were daring sinners. They were bold and unashamed with their sin. Isaiah 3:9, Isaiah, speaking of corrupt Judah, said, "They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not." They were openly bold about it. In Genesis 19, just look again at that couple of verses there. Genesis 19, 4 and 5. "But before they lay down, these two angels, the men of Sodom, of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round it, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, 'Where are these men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them.'" I believe it shows, verses we read, the degree of their depravity. Men openly and boldly lusting after other men. The men of Sodom were homosexuals. The street of Sodom was not safe at all after dark. Sodom and the cities around it had sunk to such a low level of sinful living, the judgment of God was about to come upon them. Lot knew it was such a city, but he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Sometimes we have offers. It seems too hard to say no. But for the spiritual good of our family, there's times we need to say no. Maybe we, as it were, are still on the thinking of Lot here. Maybe we, us today, maybe we're still on the outskirts of Sodom. We are still afraid of some of its influence, yet our tent door is open, and we let our children maybe listen to some of its music, the world's music, its videos, movies. Often today, the whole family has fallen in love with the wonderful, delightful, educational online services of Sodom, the like of which poor old backwoods Abraham never had access to. There's a lot of destruction going on in the lives of our people, not just youth. There's a lot that's being used and listened to. I'm not saying the use of some of this is all wrong. I'm just saying we need to be very careful, and if it's gonna take us to hell, we need to cut it off. If we cannot live in victory, we cannot use it correctly, we'd be better off without it. What about the things we allow to come through our tent door? How we weigh the dangers, counted the costs? Have we thought about asking the Lord for his approval and direction? Is it worth the risk to just hold on or accept things that are tearing us apart? Lot probably thought he could pitch his tent there towards Sodom and not get sucked in, but we see that he did. In Genesis 14:12, we find Lot there dwelling, it said, within the walls of Sodom. Like Abraham, Lot forgot he was, I believe, a stranger and a pilgrim. And he gave up his tent and moved into Sodom. Abraham's still out there in his tent. Have we left our tents, our stranger and pilgrim lifestyle? A tent can be moved. My house is fixed, and I'm not saying we need to live in tents, but sometimes it looks like we're never planning on moving on. We're stuck here. We're here for the long haul. Some of us might only have a few years left, and yet sometimes we live. You know, I thought of myself, and I try not to live too high, but I said, you know, it depends on which direction you're looking. There's people probably looking at me, some situations, even somewhere else, and they say he's living like a king. I don't feel like I'm trying to, but are we trying to be careful? What are we showing? Are we pilgrims from strangers? Are we going to live as a king? I can remember one time a fellow we was working for, building houses for, he was saying he'd been to the Biltmore Estates. I don't know if any of y'all have been there or not, but up in, it's North Carolina, is it? But it's kind of a castle, I would call it a castle. But he said, that guy thought he was a king. Well, we're servants of the Lord, right? We're not kings. Let's remember that and how we live and what we think we have to have. Well, how did he end up in there? Lot left his tent. Maybe Lot thought living out just took too much effort and inconvenience. Maybe most of his business now was done in Sodom anyway. Maybe his wife and daughters wanted to be more part of the social life. And I'm troubled sometimes, the cry among some of our people, we need to get involved in our community. Well, maybe we need to get involved, but there's a way. I mean, we need to be very careful. Be careful how we get involved. If we're going to snuggle up and take on their ways and become like them, we're in trouble. Maybe he thought it looked a little strange to be living so close and yet living out there in his little tent and not in Sodom like everybody else that he dealt with. Maybe Lot thought if he'd move into Sodom, he'd be up, he could witness to them about the Lord. He could have a bigger impact. You ever heard the argument, we have to become like them if we want to win them? Many have fallen, I believe, for that lie in our day. I believe had Abraham allowed his lines of separation to become fuzzy like Lot, he would have had to think, who would have come if Abraham had lost out? Who would have come to Lot's rescue when he was taken away by the enemy, had come in and taken him and a bunch of other ones out, and Abraham went to his rescue? How do you think Lot dressed down in Sodom? I had to think about that as I thought about this. Don't you think he might have looked just a little bit strange, this farmer, walking around a successful town like Sodom, dressed in his plain old farmer's clothes? After all, Lot was no doubt considered one of the more successful ones living in Sodom. He had a lot of goods. We get too close to Sodom today, it will have its impact on how we appear as well. He seemed to become an important man in Sodom. In Genesis 19, verse 1, we see he sat in the gate. That's where the men of influence sat. He sat in the gate of Sodom. He was successful in life, or was he? Lot was well respected. He was sitting in the gate. That's where the respected ones sat. Or was he? At times it may appear the Sodom crowd has accepted us as their own and that we have their respect. But like one day, like Lot, they will turn on us when we finally must confront them in their sin. And we see in chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 9, when he confronted them, they got upset. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn. Well, he left his tent. He came in with us. And he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. And when the angels smote them with blindness, they wearied themselves trying to find the door. I can't begin to imagine men have fallen to that level. Perhaps Lot never had the nerve before to confront the men of Sodom concerning their depraved behavior. So they had left him alone. But now when he finally confronted them, they became enraged. I thought about us today. Often we're spoken of highly, and we feel kind of popular, probably because we don't openly confront them in their sin. John the Baptist confronted Herod for taking his brother Philip's wife for himself, and he lost his life. The Pharisees on numerous occasions desired and tried to take the life of Jesus because he confronted them with their sin. They hated him. And I know we need to go about that in the right way, but yes, we need to be confronting people with their sin and where they're at. Lot may have been in Sodom quite a few years. Scripture don't say how long he was there. But it seemed he had little or no influence on the people for good. There was none who turned to serve God that I that I can see in Scripture. I believe Lot lost his testimony when he joined with them. Lot ended up losing his wife. He lost his children. And even the two daughters that came out were ruined by Sodom living. His goods, his business was gone. His moral compass was messed up and confused by Sodom living. It can happen to us as well today. In Genesis 19, verse 7, he calls the Sodomites brethren. Why? In verse 8, in his desperation, he even offers his two daughters to cruel, depraved men. Hard to imagine. What are we willing to sacrifice to live in Sodom? Our faith, our family, our wife, our sons, daughters? Sodom living will warp our values just as it did with Lot. Sodom living always costs more than you can imagine. And once in Sodom, it's hard to leave. Genesis 19, verse 16. Lot lingered. And while he lingered, he knew the city was about destroyed, and yet he lingered. And the men laid hold on his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. I had to wonder, too, had not Uncle Abraham been out there praying, would Lot still have been spared? I just don't know. He knew what he ought to do, and yet his life had become so bound up in Sodom, he couldn't let go. He would have to leave part of his family behind. His sons-in-law refused to believe that destruction awaited them. No indication his wife and two daughters wanted to go either. All of his life's work savings was there in Sodom. It becomes hard for us, too, to obey God when we become so bound up in Sodom. Because of a praying uncle and the mercy of the Lord, the angels grabbed their hands of Lot and took them out of Sodom. Someone said this. I didn't say it. But I'll mention here. For every Joshua, Abraham, and Daniel that we have in our churches, we have 100 Lots. Well, hopefully it's not that the case here. People who procrastinate, hesitate, but postpone doing what they know is the right thing to do. Why is it in our personal life and the times in the church we put off making or taking steps that will take us out of danger and away from certain destruction? Does Sodom have us more bothered? Are we like Lot's wife who looked behind as they left the city? He was told not to. In Luke 17, verse 32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife. Her feet left Sodom, but her heart was still back there." I had to think today, some join the church. They pretend to follow the Lord, that they want to follow the Lord, but the direction of their gaze shows where their heart is. Lot's wife's heart was bound up in Sodom. She didn't really believe God, or she would not have looked back, and it cost her her life. Abraham gave up what earthly eyes considered the best and experienced great gain. Lot had the paradise for a while. Abraham had the promise, the blessing of God. Lot lived for self, earthly gain, and lost all except his own life. Abraham lived for God and well, Lot did make many bad choices. Yet Scripture says the sins of those around him grieved and hurt and tormented him. Well, that's one good thing we can say about Lot. Are we still bothered by the sin around us? Or are we hardened to it? Romans 1:32 talks of those who take pleasure in watching others that sin. I think we need to be careful when using the electronic media. There's a lot there, I hear, that making light, joking things, sinful things, sinful practices, sinful behavior. Do we joke and take pleasure and make light of sin, or are we grieved by it? Lot was grieved by it. Is our tent pitched towards Sodom? If so, have we counted the cost? Are we like the children of Israel, feeding on the bread of heaven and longing for the things of Egypt? If your heart is bound up in Sodom, you need the help of God to break loose. But you must allow him to lead you by the hand away from it and follow his direction to safety and never, never, never look back. I'd like to read from Genesis 19. We see the overthrow of these towns, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the towns around about. Genesis 19, 27 to 29. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and Lot. He remembered Abraham had been praying for Lot's, for him to be saved. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities of which, in which Lot dwelt. One day the kingdoms of this world, like Sodom and Gomorrah, are going to be burned up. Nothing will be left. Will you be saved in the overthrow of this world? Will your life, like Abraham, be such that someone else's life will be spared in that overthrow because you pleaded to the Lord in their behalf? I know what it's like not to be ready. Years ago, I remember having a dream that there was flames like waves of the ocean coming. I wanted to pray. It was too late to pray. Many years later, I had a dream, I'm not sure how many years later, that I wasn't ready to go. And I had a dream where the Lord was returning in the air, and I said I was moving, and I don't know how you have sensations in a dream like that, but I said I was moving at a speed I never moved in, just getting it. Well, I think because there was a change in my direction, change in my choices, much more pleasant to have a dream like that. Well, maybe tonight the Lord has spoken to you. Maybe your choices have taken you where you shouldn't have and has hindered your walk with the Lord and put your, maybe if you have a family, put your family in danger. Maybe you want to recognize that tonight and come forward, stand up here, or take a seat in the front. We will give you opportunities for that. We'll have the song leader to lead us in a song, a verse of song. Remember, one day this whole world is going to be destroyed, and are you ready? The Lord will spare you, take you to be with him if you are ready. Someone lead us in an invitation song.